We're going to have our Bible readings now, and there are so many wonderful readings throughout the entirety of Scripture that capture hope and what hope means. And rather than have one specific reading for this morning, I've picked a range of readings from the beginning of Scripture in Genesis all the way through to Revelation, and our young people are going to read a number of those, and I'll then be cross-referencing them shortly when we have our talk.
So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.
I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.
He gives strength to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God.
This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," was written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we may be like his glorious body.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away."
Thank you so much, all of you, for reading those passages to us. May I encourage you to, if you have a chance over this next week, look through one or two of those as reminders of the great message of hope that we have throughout Scripture. But as we focus now on Scripture tells us about hope and this new hope, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to focus on your word, to reflect on the promises throughout the entirety of Scripture of a hope that was to come, but a hope that is here for all of us now, and a new hope of a new life with you in eternity. Open our hearts to be receptive to what you would say to us. Challenge us, transform us through this period of Advent, we pray. Amen. I wonder what you think or feel when you hear the word hope. It's a frequently used word, isn't it, in our everyday thoughts and statements, whether it's hope that COVID and lockdown will soon finish, hope that the vaccine will be rolled out fairly quickly, hope that we can see and hug our family and friends very soon, or simply a hope that this talk doesn't go on for very long. We all have thoughts of hope or say things that we hope for. But what are we meaning by the word hope? Well, hope is defined as that feeling of expectation and desire and belief that something is going to happen or be the case. So to truly have a hope is to actually really believe that something will occur. And it's interesting, isn't it, to think about hope in that way and to consider the sense of expectation or belief associated with it. You see, so much of the so-called hope that we hear ourselves say, that we hear others talk about, actually lacks belief or expectation. It simply is a desire, or put another way, a dream. And so few of those desires or dreams actually come to fruition. The so-called hope begins to fade. Worry sets in, which begins to drive fear. Fear drives a state of desperation. And we live in a world at the moment that is in desperate need of hope, even more at this time. People are now living without hope, and many have given up on hope altogether. But Christ came into the world to bring hope. And it seems appropriate, doesn't it, as we start the Advent journey towards Christmas, to begin with that wonderful message of a new hope, seen firstly in the arrival of Christ, his life and salvation ministry on earth, but secondly, in the anticipation of his second coming and a promise of an eternal glory in his presence. And I want to consider three broad aspects of hope relating to Christmas and to Christ. And these are: one, hope in Christ helps you get through the waiting. Two, hope in Christ will help you go the distance. And three, hope in Christ is never a disappointment. So one, hope in Christ gets you through the waiting. The Advent season is all about waiting. Whether you are an expectant, excitable child who wonders what Father Christmas will bring, or whether you're a seasoned adult trying to keep calm in the stress, hype, and hysteria, society is now about to embark on that 24-day countdown towards Christmas Day. But from a Christian perspective, Advent is a time when we can reflect on that long waiting that preceded the first coming of Christ. And it's also the opportunity for us to consider the current waiting for his second arrival. The very first Advent period of waiting in the Bible stretches all the way back to Genesis, and it runs from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to Joseph and Mary in the stable at Bethlehem. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and his commandment about not eating the fruit from the tree that was forbidden, they brought a sentence of death upon themselves and upon the entire human race to come. And we read that in Genesis 2, verses 16 to 17. God, however, is a God of hope, and he brought hope into that despair. And we see the first promise of a new hope in Genesis 3, verse 15, when God says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And even though there were to be many descendants of Eve, God specifically mentions at that point the one, the hope, the special individual who will bring an end to the misery that humanity would experience from that point on. The Old Testament is then packed with wonderful prophecies of this new hope. And in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, God promises Abraham that he will become a great nation, and that out of that nation, a hope will come, a hope we know to be Jesus. Abraham was an old man. his wife was barren, and their earthly hope of a child had long gone. Yet as we heard in that Romans 4 passage, verses 18 to 24, against all hope, Abraham held firm to the promise that God had given him. Promise of a new hope. Promise that he would become the father of many nations, just as it was said to him. But perhaps one of the clearest prophecies about the hope to come is that one in Isaiah 7, verse 14, when Isaiah tells the king of Judah that a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There were still many centuries of waiting to come, but this prophecy, like many of them, continued to fill the people of Israel with hope of a new hope that was to come. And it's the same for us today in our lives here on this earth. We may be waiting for so many things to happen, and we often need a hope to get through the waiting, because waiting is not easy. Our human nature is to want things instantaneously. We get frustrated or impatient that the Amazon Prime order takes a couple of days, that people don't respond to our emails quickly and in a timely fashion, that job options are limited and we still remain out of work. We worry we may never find a partner or get married, have the children we long or hope for, or get better from a physical or mental illness. Our hope in all these worldly things begins to diminish, and we wonder where God is in all of this. But let's not be discouraged or wonder why God allows such delays before answering our deepest cries, our deepest hopes. Isaiah 64, verse 4 says that since ancient times, no one has heard and no one has seen any God besides the one who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So as we go through this Advent period and reflect on that first very long waiting for Christ to come as a baby, let's hold firm to those verses of promise in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, which reassure us that we have a citizenship in heaven where we will be transformed into Christ's likeness. Romans 8, verses 23 and 25 also remind us of this, and that although we have experienced joy of knowing forgiveness and redemption through Christ during our lives here on earth, we should be eagerly awaiting and hoping for his return. We're reminded in these verses that if hope for what we do not see is what we wait for, we will wait for it with patience. Christ is our current and our future hope, and it's this hope that will get us through the waiting. The second point is that hope in Christ will always help you go the distance. One of the key elements of the Nativity story is that of the wise men, the Magi who travelled from afar to see Jesus. We know that the Magi were probably astrologers who studied the stars and interpreted visions and dreams. We read about them in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, and how they travelled from the east to seek the one who had been born king of the Jews. The Magi are very important for a number of reasons. They are a fulfillment of Isaiah 60, verse 3, which speaks of nations and kings coming to the light of the Lord to worship him. Their coming is also a foreshadow of the gospel going out to all nations, and the gifts they offered were gifts befitting a king. The key thing, however, that fascinates me about the Magi is the distance they travelled. They probably travelled hundreds and hundreds of miles over difficult terrain on a journey that will have taken them months and months to do. So what on earth prompted them to do this, and why? The simple answer, hope. They were scholars. They would have known the Jewish scriptures and in particular the prophecy in Numbers 24, verse 17, which says, "A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel." Their passion for the stars and their sighting of the star over Bethlehem will have signaled to them that new hope, the Messiah, the Christ, had been born. And it was that hope that prompted them to go the distance to worship him. Our hope in Christ's return should help us go the distance in life too. We all go through trials and tribulations, and it's so easy, isn't it, to be discouraged, especially when there seems no end in sight. It's why it's essential we must remember that God is with us, God is for us, and God is here to help us. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and never faint. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18 remind us not to lose heart, for troubles in this life are momentary. They're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. We must therefore fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Christ is our hope, and he will help us go the distance. And finally, hope in Christ is never a disappointment. The Christmas story is full of many examples of people who put their hope in Christ, and in doing so were never disappointed. We've already considered the Magi, who travelled a great distance to see Christ and worship him. Imagine if they'd gone all that distance and he wasn't there. It would have been a pretty disappointing, heart-wrenching journey for nothing. But they had a hope. They had a true belief in that hope. And it wasn't a disappointment. They had a hope that the prophecies were true. They believed in the light that was the confirmatory sign. And in faith, they pursued the hope. And in finding Christ, their lives were transformed. And there are other wonderful examples too. Consider Simeon, a man from Jerusalem, who was waiting for the Messiah to come, as we read in Luke chapter 2. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Christ before he died. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple for circumcision, Jesus was taken by Simeon into his arms, and Simeon praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon put his hope in a Messiah. He put his hope and belief that he would see the Messiah. And when he did, he was not disappointed, to the point that he was happy to leave this earth. And then there's the prophetess Anna. We read about her in Luke 2 as well. We read that she was very old. She'd been a widow for an incredibly long time, and she'd never left the temple in all that time, but had been worshipping day and night, fasting and praying, waiting for a hope that was to come. She too rejoiced when she saw Jesus going to the temple. There was no disappointment in her, and in fact, it sparked her, in her old age, to go on speaking about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And we must remind ourselves that this period of Advent is not just about those who waited for Christ's first coming. In fact, it should be much more now about us, waiting and hoping for his second coming. And why should we have that hope? Well, when Christ returns, he will banish all evil. He will make all things right. He will restore the earth. We will see him face to face, and all our hopes that we ever have will be fulfilled. That wonderful passage in Revelation 21 that was read for us reminds us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Our current world will pass away. God has prepared a new holy city for us, where we will dwell with him for all eternity. We will be his renewed people. God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death or mourning, no more anxieties, no more fears, no more crying or pain. This current order will be an old order. It will pass away and everything will be new. So as we go through this period of Advent together, this period which means to come, let us rejoice at the glorious story of that first Christmas when God came into the world as a baby. Let us continue to marvel at how he came to bring hope to a world that was lost, how he brought a message of hope and salvation from sin, and how that's been made possible through his death and resurrection. All those who met Christ, the baby, were not disappointed. And all those who experienced and responded to his ministry on earth were not disappointed either. The message of salvation brings a new hope to our lives, not only for our time here on this earth, but also because of the promise of what is to come. This message of hope will get us through the waiting. It will get us through the sufferings, the things we have to endure in life. It will help us go the distance. And if we continue to hold firm to it, truly believe in it, and believe that it will happen, we will not be disappointed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus is the only true everlasting message of hope. Help us this day to embrace Jesus fully, to lay all our troubles, fears, anxieties aside, and know that in Jesus there is true hope for now, but true hope for an eternity to come. Amen.